This is The Mason Vera Payne Show,
your go-to lifestyle podcast, covering everything from technology and gaming
to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond.
Brought to you from Chicago, USA,
with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Hi, I'm the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne. Today we'll be discussing why entitlement is ruining this country. I have seen too many people walk around with this everyone owes me something attitude, so I wanted someone to explain where this is coming from and what to do if you catch yourself acting this way. I'm happy to have Dr. Brian Russell join us, who is a psychologist, lawyer, and co-host of Fatal Vows.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Before we get into your book, I need to know, what exactly is entitlement?
Entitlement is an attitude that one is owed things from others, material things, money, happiness, forgiveness, and that one owes nothing to others in return. No obligation to behave constructively, no accountability for destructive behavior, etc.
Okay. So is that something that we're seeing in children that are growing up now, or the ones who are already like in their prime of their adulthood, like 30 years old?
We're seeing it, I think, unfortunately, at all levels of American society. Entitlement is rooted in the personality trait of narcissism, which is an excessive focus on the self and a belief that one is uniquely deserving of things. And I think that we have had more than one generation of Americans get an unhealthy dose of that trait.
You know, I've always wondered, because I see a lot of people on social media where Instagram, you know, they have to take a picture of absolutely everything that they're doing. Do you think social media had a part to play with this?
I think that social media is a great place to see the expression of narcissism. I think if Narcissus, who's the mythological namesake of narcissism, were alive today, social media would be his reflecting pool. Of course, Narcissus is the one who fell in love with his reflection. But today, I think the modern reflecting pool for people is social media rather than an actual reflecting pool.
Okay. Is there anything people can do about it, or is it something that, you know, is going to be part of their personality forever?
Well, narcissism is a tough trait to shake once it's established. And so the best is, this all starts at home, the best is if somebody is listening and raising kids, that they work hard to not raise a narcissistic, self-entitled kid, because those traits do not bode well for the individual. And when you have a lot of individuals like that, it doesn't bode well for the nation. So first and foremost, I think people need to make sure that they're not part of the problem. And there's actually a test in the book they can use to do that. Then they need to make sure, as I said, that they're not raising part of the problem. And there's a lot in the book about how not to do that. Then I think they ought to surround themselves as best they can with people who are personally responsible, not self-entitled, not narcissistic, people who are going through life seeing themselves as part of something larger than themselves. And you can do that in your personal life. You can do that in the people you choose to have relationships with. If you own a business, you can make sure that you run a personally responsible workplace. And then you can do what most people focus on as the only thing, and this is actually, you know, the most remote in terms of when it's likely to cause observable change in your own personal life, but you can pursue the public policy route, meaning you can help to select leadership at your local, state, and national level that understand this problem and want to solve it like you do. But again, that takes a while for that kind of change. There's only so much you can do from a public policy standpoint. This starts, as I said, at home.
Right. You know, for someone like myself, I try very hard not to be selfish, but I was thinking, because you were saying about, you know, how to not fall in the traps of being a narcissist. How do you know when you're being a narcissist or when you're being selfish or you're trying to give a little more to yourself? I mean, is there like a bar that you can, you know, not to cross, like a limit?
Well, narcissism, again, is the excessive focus on the self and a belief that one is uniquely deserving of things. And so there's nothing wrong with paying some attention to yourself. I'll give a good example with kids. It is totally desirable for kids to have self-respect, meaning they look at themselves in the mirror and they see somebody who is worthy of being treated decently by others, basic human dignity, etc. I don't think that we want kids really running around esteeming themselves, though, independent of their accomplishments, independent of their behavior, and yet that's what a lot of parents and a lot of schools been focusing on over the last few decades now, really. Teaching kids to feel good about themselves, really, regardless of how they're acting, what they've achieved, not achieved, that isn't good. That fuels the kind of narcissism that is not going to serve those kids well.
You know, it's funny. When I was a child, I was in Little League. And I remember we were the worst team out of the Little League, and we still got a trophy. And I always felt bad for the team that was in first place because their trophy was the same size as my trophy. And I remember telling my mother, like, you know, I don't deserve having anything. You know, we sucked. Like, that was just plain as day. We needed to practice more. And recently I went and I saw my second cousin. She's like 14 years old. And she was devastated that they didn't get a trophy because even though they were in last place too, but she wanted a trophy so badly. And, you know, is that what you mean? Like going from like maybe just 30 years ago to now, it's like you can see the progression.
Yes. And the best for the team in the last place would be for them not to get a trophy because that is your motivation to want to do better. If everybody gets a trophy, then where's the motivation to improve? I've heard of schools in the last few years canceling honors ceremonies so that the kids who didn't get the honors don't feel left out or have their feelings hurt. That is absolutely 180 degrees out of phase with what we ought to be doing if we want to stay ahead of our global competition, because I've been all over the world and I can tell you they're not doing that. They are, you know, they have a system that is more resembling in some ways of what ours used to be, which is, you know, the incentives are all aligned for the individual to learn as much as they can, work as hard as they can, produce as much as they can, and they are not giving the benefits of having done all that to people who haven't.
Right. How would you recommend someone to own, I don't want to say their failure, but that's kind of what it is when you're not really putting your 100% into something, whether it's studying or work or relationship. How do you, like, once you know that you have an entitlement issue, how do you own it? How do you learn to take personal responsibility for it?
Okay, so you're talking about there are two elements of owning. One is accountability for things in the past that you have done or not done that have not been productive, and the other is obligation to do better and to have a duty, feel a sense of duty to do better going forward. So let's talk about accountability. Lots of times in America today, one of the ways in which you see entitlement showing up is in people not wanting to be accountable, people not wanting to take personal responsibility for things they've done or not done that have been really destructive in some cases. And what you see them doing are these kinds of behaviors to make sure that you avoid. Externalizing, trying to come up with some reason, some cause outside of yourself for the behavior that was really yours, minimizing it, to acting like it's really just not that big of a deal. You hear people do this a lot when they say, oh, you know, they cheated on their spouse, but it was a mistake. Yeah. No, it's not. Nobody's ever cheated on their spouse and it was an accident. You hear people deflecting where they have some bad behavior of theirs pointed out, and then they immediately start talking about somebody who did something worse or somebody who did the same thing or how lots of people have done the same thing. That's deflecting attention off of their behavior onto other people. All of those are things that I have seen in my forensic work as a psychologist, sociopaths doing. And we see more and more Americans today who aren't sociopaths, they're not criminals, But they do some of those very same things to avoid accountability, and it doesn't serve them or anybody else very well in the long run.
You know, in the beginning of our conversation, you said that you had to surround yourself with, positive people who aren't narcissistic. And I thought to myself, I think of my mother, and it's kind of hard to stay away from her. But I know she is narcissistic because, like, she'll sit there and she'll want to shop. And if you tell her, hey, you better pay your bills because I don't want to have to pay them again, she'll continue to shop. And then she'll blame everybody around her for why things aren't getting done. And, you know, what about when exactly that? It's your mother, it's your sister, it could be your husband or your wife. I mean, how do you help them find out that they're kind of going a little bit too far into themselves?
Well, you might not like this answer, but there may not be a whole lot. If somebody has made it to adulthood, especially if they're farther along into adulthood even than you, it's very unlikely that you, and I say that because it's very unlikely that I, as a psychologist, are going to talk them into thinking that personal responsibility is important. That's where the public policy angle comes in, because the society has got to make sure that all of our incentives in life are aligned to support personal responsibility and to reward those who are personally responsible first and foremost. So when we start giving people, easy outs when they get overly in debt, we start to relax the rules so that if they have an easier time keeping more stuff and still getting the protection of the bankruptcy laws, for example. All we're really doing is helping people not to experience the natural consequences of their own actions, which are what is going to probably be the thing, unfortunately, that's going to turn them around if anything does. It's probably not going to be you talking them into it, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, that's unfortunate. It really is, because Christmas is coming around, and I know my mother's going to go nuts.
Well, you mentioned bailing her out.
Yes.
And maybe you can think about whether or not that's really in her best interest in the long run to keep bailing her out, or maybe whether that might just be sort of enabling her to continue doing something that is really not helpful to her or anybody else.
You know, I thought about not bailing her out, but then I think to myself, like what you said, someone who's, because she's in her late 50s, and she's been doing this for a very long time, since I was a child. So it's definitely, even if I don't bail her out, she'll figure a way to worm her way to paying her bills.
Well, maybe she needs to. You know, she's 50-something years old. She's really not that old of a woman. She's probably got a lot of life left to live. So you may be looking forward to lots and lots more bailouts unless she figures something else out to do.
No, that's true. And you know what, though? Going back to my mother, she would always say that when it comes to her shopping and spending her money, that's like the American way to do it. You're supposed to be a consumer. You know, there's a lot of people out there who do think of that as like the way, their pursuit of happiness, I guess. I know that it's wrong, but is that more of a misunderstanding, or are they interpreting what exactly the pursuit of happiness is?
First of all, pursuit of happiness through the acquisition of material things is never going to get anybody there, certainly not for the long term. And you can see that in the case after case that we see, unfortunately, of celebrities who end up having every material thing you could want. Lots of people want to sleep with them. They seem to have it all, and yet they still end up suicidal or sadly, sometimes even following through and committing suicide. And I think part of the reason you see that is because they thought the whole time that if they finally got the giant house and the Lamborghini and the gorgeous people after them, that they would be happy. And then they're just despondent when they find out that they're still not. So chasing happiness through things is never going to get you there. And I think that, no, I don't think it's the American way, certainly, to put yourself into debt in order to get things that are of little value, fleeting value. I think that the difference, previous generations certainly bought things, But when it came to buying things that they couldn't afford right now, buying things on credit, they felt that that was reserved for big ticket things that had lasting value, like houses, not things where the value is gone in a flash, like a meal out or a cruise or the movies or something. Those are things that they tended to feel that you do those when you can pay for them right now.
Right. You said not too long ago that when it comes to celebrities, you know, once they get the fame and the money and, you know, they think they're going to be happy, and it usually never does have, you know, never allows them to be happy. But you see more people doing that with social media. You have Instagram stars, you have YouTube stars, and, you know, with the accessibility for just ordinary everyday people to now become like an internet sensation, do you think that this is a reason why people are also being a little bit entitled, because they're like, if they can do it, I can do it. You know, it doesn't look that hard. Do you think social media, the way the internet is working now, do you think that's another reason why people are so entitled?
There's certainly an element of keeping up with the Joneses that there's always been, but now social media has made it to where you can see the Joneses all the time, and it really facilitates that kind of social comparison. Adding to the problem is that on social media, the Joneses may not really be the real Joneses in the sense that people can make themselves and their lives look however they want on social media. So if you're going on there all the time comparing yourselves and your life to others, you may not even be comparing yourself to what is really going on in those other people's lives, what they really have. It's all what people want it to be. And so, yes, it is a very strong facilitator, I think, of excessive focus on the self, excessive focus on the material. And as you mentioned, and another aspect of it is it has really just become ridiculous the extent to which we worship celebrities and athletes and entertainers in this country. You know, it's nice that somebody has excelled at something if they have in a sport or something like that, but there is absolutely no reason to emulate them anywhere else but on the sports field, if that's the case. And as you also mentioned, we have people now who are getting worship who I can't still figure out what they've even done, like the Kardashians.
Isn't that the truth? You know, the only thing I can think of is the sex tape way, way, way back when. And
which you got to be ashamed of.
Right, right. You should be ashamed of.
As opposed to famous for.
And it's like, this is how they got their way in. It's you're right about that. There is quite a few people, even on YouTube. My young nephew, he loves PewDiePie, and PewDiePie isn't that great, but I mean, I like some of his videos, but I don't see why he's so popular, and they go gaga for that kind of stuff. It's really weird. You know, you're right, though, that a lot of people tend to compare themselves to all the stuff they see on the internet, social media, things that they see even just walking around in the office, you know. And I think that's why a lot of times people try to keep up with the Joneses, is because of that. And like you said, it is a facade. Most of it is not even real. With that being said, what do you think people need to do to internalize so that they can feel better about themselves, and, you know, so they don't feel like the need to have to constantly go into themselves to be narcissistic to get that fulfillment of happiness?
Well, I think one easy thing that people can do right away is limit the amount of time that they spend in those venues, those social media venues, especially if you're a parent. Limit the amount of time that you let your kids be involved in that stuff. And it's another consequence of that, I think, is part of the reason why we've got so many obese kids, because they're spending so much time in front of the devices and not enough time moving around outside like I did as a kid and like you probably did as a kid.
Yeah.
But even the adults, I think that they've got to drag their faces away from the screens and start, you know, measuring themselves against themselves more than they are measuring themselves against these facades that other people are putting out there, looking at themselves in the mirror and going, am I living a personally responsible life? And if I am, And if I am thinking of myself in terms of what can I do that makes a uniquely good contribution to something larger than myself, and it doesn't matter if that's creating a huge company like Facebook that's going to make you a billionaire or teaching elementary school. What we know from positive psychology research and what just about every religion says also, if you're religious at all, is that that is going to really be the path to your happiness, because going and doing that, making that uniquely good contribution that you can make to something larger than yourself, and everyone can do something, is going to not only enable you to provide for yourself, it's not going to make everybody super wealthy, but enable you to provide yourself for yourself very likely, and also make you happy, because it's going to give you meaning. And meaning is the path to happiness much more than material.
Well, thank you very much for joining me, Dr. Brian.
Thank you for having me, and we've got the book available today for everybody on Amazon at a ridiculously low price, so they can find it for just about everybody on their holiday shopping list who's either entitled or thinks entitlement's a big problem, and that ought to encompass just about all of them. Stop moaning, start owning.
Thanks for coming on, Dr. Russell. I appreciate you speaking with me, and I'm sure my listeners do too. If anyone wants to know more about Dr. Brian Russell, visit his website, drbrianrussell.com. Also, like his Facebook, Dr. Brian Russell, all one word, and check out his Twitter at Dr. Brian Russell. Again, all one word. His book, Stop Moaning, Start Owning, How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It, is currently available at your local bookstore and at Amazon.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.